Jeff in the distance. Jeffrey?
I'm here. I'm enjoying my brew of sweet Southern style tea, as I do not want to sully the memories or the process of discussing the best trilogy in all three of the Star Wars franchise trilogies, which we're doing episodes 4, 5, and 6. The OG, some things didn't age real well, but we'll get to those later. But the memory of it is pristine in my mind.
Tyler, didn't we agree that we both like the prequels more than the original?
Yes.
I thought so.
Because that's what
Yeah,
we
I
grew
mean,
up on.
and everyone
Jeff grew up on the original trilogy, and
I
it's
just can't
okay.
remember if you
Then
agreed with me on that.
you have the then you have the millennial, not millennials, whatever the fucking generation is now, that loves the wokeness of the sequel trilogy. We
I
got,
think that's Gen Z.
I don't know. Everybody's fucking woke now, except for it's bullshit. They wouldn't give the black guy the fucking lightsaber.
They
Market it
did.
to. No, it doesn't count. Doesn't count. He had it for maybe a minute of the entire. No, I lied. 2 minutes. Two different scenes. And you know what? They marketed it saying, hey, he. I forgot. John Boyega. He's gonna be the next Force Squad. He's gonna be the one with the lightsaber. He's gonna be the next part of the Skywalker saga somehow. But no. He gets slashed in the back and he's bye bye. Somehow, Rey, this is not even the trilogy we're on. No. Let's go back to Farm Boy that is given one of the most deadly weapons in the galaxy and immediately points it to his eyeball.
And blue milk.
Hey man, leave Blue Milk
You can't,
alone.
no,
What
you
did it do to
can't,
you?
no, you just can't
Leave
do,
it alone.
you can't talk about these episodes and not bring up blue milk, good or bad. You have to
I
bring
mean,
up
I
blue
wasn't
milk.
gonna. I don't even think about Blue Milk. I wasn't even thinking
You
about
said farm boy, and it made me think of
it
like the beginning of New Hope.
at all. How can you not think of Aunt Beru and her delicious blue milk?
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, she was also like 50, and the first time I watched it was like 5, so I didn't really pay much attention to her.
Oh, Tyler, what are you drinking?
It's a thin mint. It
Like the
is
cookie?
Bailey's, Kahlua, and peppermint schnapps. Very
Solid.
nice. Tastes just like a Girl Scout cookie thin mint. It's delicious.
I like it.
Except for they say you need to do equal parts, but not really. It's you got to play around with it. Thin mints, you always put very little into it just because it's very overpowering in certain drinks. But you put more Baileys into it, then you put about 3/4 or 2/3 of what you put of Baileys in. That's how much Kahlua you put in, and then about maybe a quarter of peppermint schnapps. It's good. It's delicious.
Very
See, I've
nice.
had equal parts with Rumplemintz, which is like a stronger schnapps. It's got a higher ABV.
Thank you for
So,
telling us what that was, because that was going to be my next question.
now you
What are you
know.
drinking?
Malibu rum, peach crown, and Sprite.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. Jeff helped me concoct this. Before that, I was
I
drinking
hope
a
you miss your
vodka
8 a.m.
soda.
class tomorrow.
I don't.
I do.
This is the last time I'm going to that class, and it's a fun one.
And I hope you miss
What a monster.
Ah, man.
Good. You know, it is what it is. So, anyways, original trilogy. First one came out, New Hope in 77. groundbreaking. It was absolutely groundbreaking when it first came out. None of its kind was ever done. I love how he actually had to hand paint half the scenes that was used, which was I thought was awesome. but you know, it is what it is. Jeff, you were did you go see this movie in theaters?
No, I don't. I vaguely remember the first thing of Star Wars that I watched, because I had the toys, because that was everyone had Star Wars toys.
Of
I
course,
had
of course.
toys. I'd never watched the stupid show. And then this infamous Star Wars holiday special came out. And that
Oh
was
my
my first
God.
thing I ever watched that was Star Wars.
Oh
I saw
my
the
gosh.
movie afterwards, but for my first introduction to the Star Wars universe was the scene, I think it was like a CBS special, Star Wars, and it was really bad. But nonetheless, the toys pushed the universe, and I remember vividly watching The Empire Strikes Back in theaters, which is probably the reason that I have a love for that movie in particular. Because watching it in a theater, completely different game than watching it on home or streaming it or watching it some other way, especially with such a rabid fan base at the time. Everything was a spectacle in that movie for watching The Empire Strikes Back, and it was great. I know I watched Return in the theaters. I just don't remember a lot about it other than the fact that I was ready for credits long before I actually got 2 credits in that movie for some reason.
Yeah, I know a lot of people weren't really happy with I know back then a lot of people were super stoked about how well or about the conclusion to Return of the Jedi. Not many people knew back then what was Return of the Jedi. That was what, 84? Was it 84 or 83? It's 84, right?
I have no
Bro, I
clue.
don't know.
83, sorry, I apologize.
That was long before my days.
But no one knew that George Lucas had a whole list of movies he wanted to do, and so back then everyone loved it. Like, oh, it's a great ending. I know some, certain states were probably like, oh, why didn't you end up with your sister, Luke? It's okay here, but it
Leave Arkansas
happens.
alone.
What?
You leave Arkansas and West Virginia alone.
I thought that was the Mississippi of the galaxy.
I was talking about Louisiana.
You guys are treading on thin ice, man. Thin ice.
No, see, mine's just for, I'm just quoting the Family Guy Star Wars, you know?
Oh no,
I'm
I
just
was
quoting the.
100% going for Jeff.
Oh yeah, see, no, I'm quoting the joke from Family Guy.
Nope. I mean, it was a joke too, but I
I
just
know,
wanted to
I
get
know.
under Jeff's
It's just,
skin.
see, yours come from you. I quote other shit, so then my ass is saved. They already said it. I'm just quoting.
Debatable, but that's okay.
Nah.
Is that how that works? If I'm
Yeah,
quoting
that's
someone?
exactly. If you're quoting someone, you can't get in trouble. You just have to point out that it was a quote from that thing and be able to prove it, As long as you can do that. I would probably
But
try to
see.
avoid like quoting like Hitler or some shit. He said some pretty gnarly shit.
Well, he wasn't in a movie. He was real life.
Well, no,
But
but he still
hey,
has
for those of you
quotes.
listening, I know they're taking the whole Holocaust thing out of history books in school right now. Hitler
Are
is a
they?
very bad guy. Oh yeah, dude, they're trying to take
What?
major wars, major everything out of history books and stuff right now. So kids now in school are not even learning. They're not learning
Do they
anything
have
about
a
it.
reason why they're trying to?
Oh
It's
God, please
too
let's not get
dark.
Let's please, please don't. Please don't do
It's
this.
too
It's too dark.
it's a too dark history for the United States and America and the world. They don't like to talk about wars. Thanksgiving, obviously, for obvious reasons, people don't like that. yeah,
Don't even
but
start
no,
on
yeah.
Columbus Day.
What?
Don't even start on Columbus Day. It's
I mean, that one's got some like solid reasoning behind it.
absolutely, but you can't ignore
Th
things.
that's the thing. You can't ignore it. Yes, these are all awful things that I would rather not talk about if I don't have to.
But
yeah, no, they're trying to take it out of schools.
Was it Washington who was like
this trilogy?
Was it Washington who was like people who don't know history are doomed to repeat it? Was that Washington or was that Lincoln? It was one of the presidents, one of like the big four.
I think that was they just stole someone else's quote and
probably
slipped
put
it into
with them. Yeah.
I mean,
what were you saying, Jeff? About the this is what?
You're saying you can't. Those are the comment that Dylan made. I said, yeah, kind of like the sequels and prequel to this particular portion of the trilogy. Bad things, bad things.
But you can't ignore them.
That's correct.
You put the evil on
can. Me. I've ignored the sequels since they've been released.
Dude, I honestly,
do not fucking tell me that you went back and watched them and you enjoyed them.
No. Can you? Man, shut up. When?
You offering?
I did.
Let me get a couple more drinks in me and we'll talk.
See, the worst part is you actually said you had to have a couple more drinks, but you actually do it. So, you are no longer allowed at my house.
See, and then you take the joke and you just go 10 times further.
Anyways, shut up, you want to be walking furball.
Will you fucking finish
carpet.
Your thought?
Dude, I have too many thoughts, man. Fuck out of here. Anyways, Millennium Falcon. I love that shit, and I want one.
Like a replica or one that actually flies?
I want one that actually flies.
I don't think...
Sorry, Jeff's over here fucking dying laughing right now.
I don't think you're going to be able to get one of those, bud. Not that actually fly. I mean, I don't
hey,
know.
Hey, don't you crush. Might... Hey, no. Don't crush my dreams like my neighbor crushed my daughter's dreams on
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, see, it's different. You're not a child, so I don't give a fuck. Yeah, you're probably not
Dude,
going to
Jeff.
Space in the Millennium
no,
Falcon.
Actually, this kind of actually pertains to what we're talking about.
I mean, very,
it
very
really actually
vaguely.
Does. I can very connect
vaguely.
These dots.
You are.
Jeff.
You're...
Jeff. Jeff, so Jeff, oh my god, I called Dylan on Friday yelling.
Tyler,
so,
real quick, if you're connecting dots, you're in a book of a connect the dot book, and you're connecting page 1 to page 100 here, bud. You're going through the whole book.
Welcome okay. to how my mind works. Welcome to how my mind works. I literally jump from one thing. I'm like, oh, I can think of this too. And I literally go to something else. I don't know why. And I'll tell you the story off air because I'm sure you guys don't want to hear about my issues. Blue and red lightsabers.
Blue and green are for the good guys. Red's for the bad guys. That's just how it is. That's a quote from George Lucas. I saw it earlier.
Because for some... I was just trying to bring it back to Star Wars somehow.
Well, let's start at the beginning. You know,
a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Far, far away.
Can you read the script for me?
Yeah. There's something about a bitch with plans, and guy comes in. He wants the plans. She sent the plans, and a little robot dude. Little robot dude found the farmer boy who found...
Hold on. What is the robot dude's name?
R2-D2.
Okay.
Okay, don't even try to fucking... You.
I ain't doing it. I was just asking you a question, sir.
You thought you were going to catch me on some shit.
I was just asking you a question.
Well, we can assume that everyone that is bothering to listen to this at this point is a masochist, and also that they've probably watched Star Wars already. So as far as plot points and spoilers for a movie that's, I don't know, 40 years old, there's not a whole lot of those available. But the thing is, it set the table for tons of other space operas. Everybody was pitching stuff. It's Star Wars, but like this. You know, that's how we got the first iteration of Dune. May God rest its soul. You know, that's how we got
the first scene in Dune where you have where the ship is coming down and landing looks legitimately just like one of the ships in Star Wars. Name any of the ships in Star Wars landing, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, because everybody at that time when they were shooting these things of how massive this was, it changed the game on so many different levels. Just the technology that George Lucas innovated and created for this, the way he shot some of the stuff, the story that it was the hero's journey. It's archetypical, and it is nothing new that he did.
Oh, without a doubt.
He just took the hero's journey and plotted it into space and had crazy ideas that worked and literally created a franchise that still spawning movies for good or bad, countless video games, thanks to the plus tons of shows that are ancillary to that, generational love of this universe. He created all of that just because he wanted to do something different. And he did. And it was much better different than like THX. If you guys have not watched that movie, you get ready for something crazy. But we already knew he could direct, you know, when he was doing this because of American Graffiti, THX that he was in film school. This guy had a driving passion for what he did. And and the innovations that he created in this movie and the sequels that we discussed already as far as what he did with digital camera work and things like that it literally was a game changer. And that cannot be understated on how much this A New Hope in particular changed the way movies were made then and are still influenced to this day. You know, there's people that, you know, they're making movies that grew up on this and, you know, two generations behind that grew up on the sequel, which are the prequels rather, which is really disturbing, but explains a lot about some of the shit I have to sit through these days. But the technical aspects that he did, the camera work, the way they shot scenes, the way he made this on a budget, those are all impressive feats. And the way that they went about it, no one believed in him. Hell, the company didn't. Like when he had the toy rights to this.
That's why he created Lucasfilm so that he could do it himself. And he paid for all of this by himself, if I'm not mistaken.
Essentially, I think
some investors, but like saying, that stuff ran dry. And,
yeah, just like and small stuff like that. Little.
Yeah. But let's talk about
But when Fox, agreed to distribute it, usually the distributor gets a taste of those toy rights, and he just said, "I don't want shit. Just let me have the toys."
Bank.
That's where my love of the franchise started was with the toys because they were so damn cool.
Well, especially in the time too. I mean, because. You know, before the digital age, I mean, every kid just wanted a fucking toy.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Not many people want toys nowadays.
That's the thing. Toys are more of a collector item than anything else these days.
Absolutely.
Once you hit like 8 or 9, that's when kids start to go away from toys. And so if you look at the toys now, hold on, I'll show you. If you look at the toys now, this is actually for my son's birthday party. And guess what? It's a Star Wars themed birthday party.
It was just fun to think about.
Look how dumb. I hate how this Han Solo looks.
Well, they have to go based off the animated now.
No, I know, and that's what they're saying. That's what I'm saying. They're changing the style. They're changing everything to cater towards young generation. Like when you, but if you have the 2003 like mini episode Clone Wars series, that was catered towards for my age when I was 13. That was more for 13. But if you look at everything now, you have Rebels and whichever one this is from, I don't know. It's catered for 10 and under to bring people in. And that's what the toys are catered for and stuff as well. Like you said, like Jeff said, everything's most bigger toys is now for collector's items. Like Jeff's briefcase, phase one for Avengers. And
I would use that as a toy, though.
You can play with the cube. You can act like you're Thor and Iron Man and fighting over it.
I mean, no. Dude, look at Funkos. When somebody buys a new Funkos, you're like, that's not a toy.
Yeah.
Like, of course it's a toy. It's a piece of plastic. It's a bobblehead. That's not a
and
toy.
And it was catered towards younger people. But now it's all generations, all people are purchasing.
No, I remember going to Burger King. There was one point where you could go to Burger King and the toy was a fucking Star Wars tech deck. Those little fucking mini skateboards. And I had a Commander Cody fucking tech deck from Burger King. And that was like the coolest shit ever.
Dude, you remember? No, the coolest thing ever. And I think I still have it in my parents' storage. I want to go find it. It was the Star Wars spoons.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the watches.
No, the Star Wars spoons, where you could have red or blue or purple, and the handles were actually the lightsabers of somebody. So the handle of Mace Windu, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin.
Blue lightsaber spoon was like, no, this is Obi-Wan's fucking lightsaber.
Or this is Darth Vader. Yeah, dude, it was so cool. Oh, I miss those.
We could sit here talking about days. Fucking toys all night.
You really could.
Yeah, but that's a wholly different podcast. And
yeah, we're here to talk about the movies.
So one issue that I had with it, there's a few issues. One, who left an exhaust port big enough for missiles to go down?
Me.
Second, obviously, we got that later on with Rogue One, but that doesn't exist at this point in time. Rogue One came out 40 years afterwards. I understand that. But two, instead of just standing there with your mouth open and watching a lightsaber battle, why not go over there and try to help them? There was only like four stormtroopers that can't hit anything, but all they have to do
yet,
is
though,
kill those.
To be fair, this is the first time he's fought them. He doesn't know that yet.
But still, I know, but still.
And
well,
then,
I mean, in
the
rest of the
point.
Movies, they still don't understand that either.
True. To touch on your first point, not only did someone just happen to leave a hole big enough for a missile that just happened to leave to the fucking epicenter of the Death Star, they did it twice.
That's facts. There's not really an excuse for the second time.
That's the thing. You do it
unless
the first
they
time
just reuse
like,
the same plans.
That's the thing. It's like you do it the first time. It's like, ah, shit. I really didn't think anyone would notice that. You do it the second
time.
Put
grates. We should put grates over this so you know nothing can go in there.
Yeah, you know, and then, well, the second time, they flew a whole fucking ship through, which, I mean, I know they were still building it.
Many ships through.
We all took a drink at the same fucking time.
Yeah, we did.
Straight liquor. We're doing great at the taking turns talking.
No, but it's, I still don't see, don't just stand there in awe. Go help. That's your boy. You're supposedly boys. Go help him. That's all I got to say.
I think it's more of the admiration of this man who knew your father. You know, he's all powerful. He's fighting the man that killed your father. And then you're like, he's got this. Like, if I went over there, I would just be in the way. So I'm just going to sit right here.
No, you're all space wizards. Go fight the space wizard battle and get this together.
He's
baby space wizard. I understand
he is
that.
Barely a space wizard.
Dude,
he's baby
not a
space wizard.
You guys have to realize he grew up his entire life.
Space farmer.
Like everyone else in the empire at that point, hearing horror stories. I mean, you told your kids Darth Vader was going to come for that ass. If they didn't shut the fuck up and go to bed. I mean, this isn't some guy fighting your friend. This is the fucking boogeyman raining hell down on someone that you just met. I'm probably going to let him sit over there too and go, well, good luck with that. This chick. And I'm going to bounce out of here.
I'm going to take this fine-ass lady over here. We're going to get the fuck out with this big
stop
dog.
Stop it, Arkansas. Stop it right now.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
You know that's what he was thinking.
That was no, it wasn't.
That was.
Well, he was
that's
thinking.
That's what he was thinking at the beginning of the second movie.
Yeah.
You know, when she gives him a kiss and he just leans back with his arms up with that smug-ass smile on his face.
Well, the thing is, once he finds out that that's his sister, it's not even like, not even like an oh my god moment. He's just like, oh, cool.
That's spoiler alert, they're sister and brother. On a 40-year-old movie. No, but it's, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's yeah, funny. Sure. Next you're going to tell me like how... Darth Vader is their dad or something.
Damn, how'd you know?
No way.
I mean, I believe Anna Kendrick said it best in Pitch Perfect. For God's sake, Vader is father in German. So
yes, yeah. Yeah, that is correct.
You know, we're also smart, smug now. You know, and so I'm sure that's why some of this doesn't play particularly well. But
probably,
God, yes. Dude, the reveals were just like mind-boggling, like, oh my god.
Yeah, a big reveal like that back then was like, holy shit.
Dun dun dun.
Exactly.
And speaking of that, I love how all my kids, even though I have Star Wars on all the time, they still till this day think his name is Dark Vader. Not Darth Vader.
That's
Dark.
Just kids, man. Kids are fucking stupid.
I'm not, no. I don't, yeah, mine are fucking stupid.
I didn't say that. I didn't say yours.
I said that. I said that.
I just want to point out that I didn't say your kids are stupid.
I don't give a fuck what you said.
I know.
They're stupid.
There's just people that are going to listen. They're going to be like, oh, you shouldn't say that about his kids. You should hear what he fucking says about his kids. Fuck you.
You know what?
I heard it here. Hey, you heard that, everyone. He said, fuck you.
Yeah. He will triple and quadruple down on bad bets. He's like, he's a 20. I'll take another car.
What?
Wait, what? I missed the first half of that. Only thing I heard was bad bets and beyond.
That's all I heard, too.
I said I love how Tyler will not only double, but triple and quadruple down on a bad bet. Even
always.
Back out. He's like, nope. We're going balls deep into this one. Just fuck it.
Barney Stinson, hey, you're American. Stick to your guns. Even if you're wrong, you just go harder. And even if you're wrong, it doesn't matter. No.
Well,
that is one more. What?
That is absolutely terrifying.
No. One more thing that bothered me about the first movie. Is when all the other ships get shot, they blow up. But when Vader's ship gets shot, he goes spiraling out to space like it's an uncontrollable merry-go-round.
Well,
it all depends on where you hit it, you know?
Okay, that's fine. It should blow off a wing.
Yeah, but the thing is, Han and Chewie came in there like fucking space cowboy and probably didn't have the most accurate shot.
Okay, all the other ships got shot in a wing or right next to the cockpit and still blew up. He got shot on the wing and spiraled out like a dreidel on Hanukkah.
Okay, well, how fucking cinematic is it if we kill the boogeyman in the first movie?
Well, we've learned in recent adaptations that obviously you
not
can clone yourself 5 billion times and come back.
Well, let's not do that. The TIE fighter, that wasn't a wing. That is a particle generator for the tachyon drive. So basically he blew out one of his engines and he was at full throttle already. So he's just going to go into a flat spin.
See, Jeff,
if you were in atmosphere. So,
But that still doesn't answer my question. Is when the other ships got shot in those same spots, they blew up to all hell.
If I shoot you in the arm, are you going to die immediately? Are you going to run are you going to try and get the hell out of there?
No. You're not grasping what I'm saying. He shoots them once. Or the other X-Wing shoot TIE fighters with one shot, pew pew. Same exact noise, by the way. Pretty sure fucking George Lucas was like, hey, we're gonna save money. Pew 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 pew. There's your gun sounds. Anyways, fucking other TIE fighters get shot once, they blow up. All I'm saying is if Vader gets shots, He gets shot once, and he goes spiraling out of control. All
right, you want to
That's
know the
all
difference?
I'm saying. That's all I'm
you
saying.
Want to know the difference?
Center mass,
everything
and limb.
Else, that too. Everything else, like you said, shot by X-Wings, which are, you know, military-grade fighters. Millennium Falcon's just built for speed. Not taking shit down in one shot. And you think Vader's out here getting the cheap shit that the fucking stormtroopers are flying? Fuck no.
But
that
no.
Dude,
whenever they
that
go out
got
fighting,
the expensive
no.
shit.
No. No. We have saw in earlier in the movie where the Millennium Falcon is taking out TIE fighters with one shot.
With the side TIE guns. Fighters, with the side
TIE.
Guns.
Different, completely different machine. Completely, if you've ever played X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, there's
don't
completely...
remind me about
I was wondering
that
you were getting all
game.
Your information from
completely different shield setup whatsoever. It is a completely different thing. TIE Fighters are built for speed and mobility. They do not have the engine or shield or firepower capacity of an X-Wing, which is vastly superior but much slower. They're built to buzz around you and to kill you. The TIE Advance, which Darth Vader was flying, has a much more robust shield system than the average rank and file TIE fighters, who are extremely cheap to produce. And because of the way that they're set up, they don't have the same shield capacity or armor as a TIE Advanced or the TIE Bombers. So there.
So like I said, Vader's in charge. He ain't getting the cheap shit.
That's right.
Now,
police cars aren't armor pierced. Don't have armor resistant, you know, body cladding and bulletproof glass.
But a SWAT team do.
There you go.
I really want to like virtual high five Jeff right now.
One of the most iconic movies out there. Simply for the most big iconic camera. Scene out there.
You mean the one with the snowman?
Say it again.
You mean the one with the abominable snowman?
And snow camels?
And snow camels getting gutted?
Oh, man. They legitimately added that just because of Mark Hamill's car crash. To somehow they needed to explain why he had a scar across his face from his car wreck accident that he had.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they added that whole scene.
You know
there.
What though? That became one of the most iconic characters, the big snow monster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, good for you, George.
And who had Swanton Death Scream as a notification on their smartphone at some point?
Exactly.
Say it again.
And who hasn't used a Tauntaun death scream as a notification on their smartphone?
That's accurate. I have R2-D2 scream right now.
My phone is completely silent.
Well,
I don't even keep
that's cool.
I don't even turn the vibration on.
But so
no, Space Camels too. You gotta love those. What are they
Tauntaun?
No, Tauntauns. The big robot camels.
Well, hold on. I want to talk about Tauntauns real quick. The scene that you're talking about where it gets sliced open.
It's about the noise it makes when it falls
the
over.
The scene that he gets sliced open, and Han is standing over him going, well, the only thing I can think of is the Family Guy episode
yep,
of
there,
this,
breathing
where
for,
constantly yeah. breathing for like 2 minutes straight, and I was convinced it was going to be 2 minutes long for him saying that.
Yeah, because what he
in
does,
the movie.
What they do in Family
I
Guy,
I always think it every time.
What they do in Family Guy is like he does the whole, and I thought they smelled or smelled bad, and then he does the breathing for like 2 minutes on the outside.
Yeah, it was great. It's a
honestly,
classic. Anyway,
honestly, the Family Guy version of that was fucking fantastic.
Dude, they did such a good job.
But yeah, no, giant robot space camels.
The AT-ATs, man, you gotta love them.
Dude, they're fucking great. And then the scene where Luke's just like, hey, I've got an idea. Let's tie the bitches up and drop them. That's fucking brilliant. I fucking love that shit.
Yeah, like, that's accurate.
That, I don't know. That scene, that's one that just sticks out to me.
Because yeah, it's just hard to do. That was hard to do on the N64, though, man. Jesus, that was a hard game.
That shit was hard to do on Lego Star Wars, the fuck?
Dude, time out. The new Lego Star Wars Skywalker
it
saga.
So fun.
I am hopefully going to purchase it this weekend. I'm super excited. And you guys will never hear from me again until it's completed.
See, and this is the thing. Every time we try to talk, we talk about the movie, there's so much other stuff that we love about this. And here's the thing. I haven't minced words. I appreciate it. I like the universe. I don't like these movies a whole hell of a lot. Empire, obviously, soft spot for it. It's whatever. When you're talking about all 10 of these movies, not 11 movies, Jesus. I keep forgetting about the Han Solo movie because, well, I should. But
No. Hold on. I like the Han Solo movie.
Well, there's no accounting for taste. But Rogue One
is coming from the guy who hates all the Star Wars movies.
I hate all of them. I like the universe.
Sorry, you like Rogue One, and you somewhat tolerate Empire.
Well, also accurate, but I think you can, anybody that's listening to this can tell I'm passionate about the universe and the stuff about it.
That's facts.
It's awesome. Like Rogue One is the best movie from opening credits to end credits of any of the ones we had available to us.
I
like characters in some of them much better. Like I like there's some things that I don't like about Rogue One. I don't like Cassian Andor as a character. He's kind of pointless.
It's his own TV show.
Yeah, it's just like I could care less. But that was a great movie. I enjoyed it immensely. It answered some questions leading into A New Hope. I'm gonna ask a couple of more. You know, then like I don't know what you're talking about. Like, well, you see those blaster scars on your door, I put those there. And that dude that I cut in half when I walked in, pretty sure he was trying to defend you from something. And you talking about I ain't got the plans? That's bullshit. You know? But I as far as Empire goes, I mean, come on. Everybody loved it. Everybody loved Yoda because who didn't love Jim Henson? You know,
see, that's what I was gonna bring up. Was like, this is the first time you see Yoda too, and like, all you really know about him is that he's fucking ET, but smaller and bigger. Ears.
I love how when Luke's going, he gets called, or he has his visions, he gets called away to go to the Cloud City, and Yoda's like, "No, don't go.
He's like,
you're
no,
not ready.
I don't think you should do that."
No, like, don't do it. And he gets off and leave. He just kind of turns a ghost Obi-Wan. Spoiler alert, ghost Obi-Wan. Nah, this is going to be bad. But don't worry. We have his sister. He doesn't know about that yet.
And it's like, no, there is another. But no. And then it's like...
iconic as well.
I really hope that Yoda's the type to say, I told you so. Because like he tells Luke, hey, you're not ready. You shouldn't go. And then Luke comes back with one less hand.
Yeah.
And I really hope Yoda just looked at him and was like, I fucking told y'all, dumbass. You weren't ready.
Now I'm going to die, and it's over with.
Your daddy fucked up your hand. And now I'm about to die. So, like, you did all that for nothing. Like, you literally went there, got nothing good done, and you lost a hand.
That's facts.
You know what? I'm starting to think we might have found our little bitch of the series.
Who? Luke?
Oh. Yeah?
Oh, 100%. Dude, you found out your dad that you never knew you had was still alive? Like, yeah, I get
it. Stupid fucking face.
I get it. He, you know...
realistically, he's an entrepreneur, but, you know, that's a whole other conversation. He did help start the largest business in the galaxy.
No, you and I talked about this. No, shut the fuck up. We're not talking about that right now.
He's an entrepreneur, and he helped supply millions upon millions of jobs throughout the entire galaxy. Yes, it goes through some shady stuff. I understand that. Really stormtroopers definitely get paid. Stormtroopers definitely get paid.
What do they spend their money on, Tyler?
They get Imperial credits. I never said it was target practice. It's probably those drinks that help them miss targets.
I know. I was just making the
joke. It's those Imperial death sticks.
I was just reiterating the joke that they can't hit shit.
Okay, well, I don't give a fuck.
Well, here's the thing, man. The jokes about them not hitting stuff, those are hard to swallow. Ha ha. Because, like,
in the beginning,
Obi-Wan was like, you know, these blast points are too accurate for sand people. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I'll get ready to edit.
I just realized that.
What? Yeah.
I just realized that correlation there when everyone's like, oh no, that's too accurate to be sand people. And then we see stormtroopers shooting. It's like, how fucking bad are sand people?
Well, that's why they have to use the butt of the gun to knock Luke out.
That's right.
That shit's effective.
It's
a classic.
Well, according to the book of Boba Fett. So no, gross.
Sand people are fucking bad. No. You mean Mandalorian season 3?
Oh no, 2.5.
Because
you only got a couple.
That's true.
They're not real good at the shooting, but they will, you know, come to a martial arts contest and they'll just work you up. It's ridiculous. But
they're monks. They're monks.
Oh wait, we forgot about the best part of New Hope. The scene where they're going into the room.
The Jawas?
No, the scene where they're going, where the stormtroopers are going into the room where R2 and C-3PO are, and the one stormtrooper
and
has his
fucking
head on the
door. And they leave it in.
And they leave it in.
Because it probably costs too much to
redo it. Oh, yeah, they had one take on that.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, Sarlacc pit, completely useless.
Well, and here's the thing. These guys are clone troopers of Jango Fett.
Not at this point. They had weeded out most of the clone. Yeah, these are recruiting people. Right.
They started recruiting people, so they were kind of pathetic. And I guess Obi-Wan had been used to the clone troopers that he was commanding back in the day. So he was maybe getting a little more credit than they should have. You know,
he thought he was walking into Cody and Rex and shit, like people of that nature, but instead they were getting Bob.
That's right. Good old Bob.
Bob and Steve.
Bob and Jerry. I like Jerry.
No, I like Steve.
I know it's Steve, though.
I don't like a lot of Steves. I like Steve. Goes by Steven, not Steve, so
no, we call
you
him
can't
Steve.
Count him. Well, he's Steven to me, so I don't give a shit.
Well, I'm calling him Bob and Jerry.
It's Bob and Steve. Jeff, you're rolling. Is it Bob and Jerry or Bob and Steve?
To me, Bob is an agent of Hydra, so that's completely different, and that's Deadpool related.
He's taking Bob out. Billy and Jim.
Oh, man. I can go with that.
No, because then you got Billy the Kid.
Josh.
It's literally the person whose house I'm in.
I know. That's why I said that. What, Jeff?
How about Tucker and Kyle, the stormtroopers?
Fuck yes. Tucker and Kyle, the stormtroopers. I fucking love that.
That's perfect. Oh,
well,
man.
You know, they joined because they really wanted to fly, but then, you know, they got washed out. They're just stuck there doing nothing.
They thought they were going to be weekend warriors, and the next thing you know, they're on the fucking Death Star.
They were told that they were gonna meet women, but they weren't told what kind.
Fucking recruiters. Even in the galaxy far, far away,
they still lie to you.
Still lying to people.
Oh, man. Which brings me to. I mean, there's not really much you can say about that other than.
No, once you get past Yoda, I mean. You got Lando.
I will say.
The fact that Lando's wearing Han's clothes at the end of Empire. That's weird.
Mine, yeah, that's awkward. But
first of all, we're walking past the pimpest thing that's ever pimped at the time in movies was "I love you." Come on, I know. Come on, man. Like, that's just great. You know,
that's classic. Old.
I think he just hates everything about movies. I don't know why the guy was an actor. He seems to dislike everything about it. But he was great. You know,
I love it.
Like Han Solo, regardless of the other ridiculous things in the movie, the way he delivered the lines, just growled them out. Like it was great. The best chaotic neutral character in movie history.
Yes, I agree with you that one. And I love how he was supposed to say "I love you" back. He was supposed to say "I love you too," and like you said, he makes up his own script or just doesn't care, which I think is both. That he looked at George Lucas and said, "I'm not doing that. I'm gonna do my own," and legitimately went out there and did his own. And like you said, became one of the most iconic scenes out there. Hell. Yeah. I have bath towels in my bathroom that says "I love you," and the other one says "I know."
I got coffee cups that say the same thing.
Not to bring exactly. it back in, but it's still better than what Family Guy did. She says "I love you." He's going out. She says "Fuck off."
Yeah.
So, all right. So now that
I will
got
say
over
real
the
quick
thing to, ever
to our back to our drinking aspect, I went back and refilled up. I didn't feel like opening up 3 bottles of liquor again, and I poured in our mead back into my cup. I didn't realize that there was still some Bailey's and concoction left in it, and it actually tastes phenomenal with the mead into it now.
What
I might have
mead?
Created something. Viking blood, bro.
No. No.
That was weird.
There's a new kind that's around. That's made around here in Georgia, but I don't know. It didn't taste as good. They tried being like too fruity with it. I mean, I get it. Mead is legit honey, but they try to shove like cranberry and peach and blackberry down your throat to the point where it's just overpowering and disgusting.
You gotta get them flavors in there, man. All right, back
nah,
to
man. I don't want my flavors.
Return of the Jedi. We meet Jabba the Hutt, meet the Rancor, which
Rancor is great.
Rancor is mm-hmm. such a good monster for the universe.
Yep.
Which is more than I can say than what I'll say about the Sarlacc pit.
Hold on. At the in Empire we meet. This is not my opinion. Apparently one of the most badass bounty hunters in the galaxy, Boba Fett. My opinion
is... How many
lines
does he have between the two movies? 3?
I think he has a total of 3 lines the entire time. And I don't know why, but between these two movies and his 3 fucking lines, everyone absolutely loves him. I'm sorry. I remember watching him when I, like I said, so when I was growing up, I was born in 90 and growing up in the 90s. I had all the original trilogy on VHS. Hell, I even had Phantom Menace on VHS. Well, but the original trilogy, I used to play so much that I had to get a new box set for it because of it. Well, he was still a forgettable character to me. I don't understand why people think he was the biggest thing in the fucking world. I was not a huge fan of him. I still am not a huge fan of him. Especially after Mandalorian 2.5. He was a side character in his own fucking show. Obviously, he's not that fucking good.
Okay. Boba Fett as a character is activating because he had a cool ship. He had a cool toy.
I feel his like that's
armor,
all it was.
There's a special on Disney Plus on why Boba Fett was cool.
I saw it.
Yeah, Boba Fett was. It was the costume. It was the toy. The toy line was awesome. He had the most accessories because that's important because you can do more shit with them. He had cool trinkets, gadgets, and he didn't, like, everyone was scared shitless around Vader, and Boba Fett kind of put Vader on edge a little bit because, you know, he just kind of, he didn't talk down to him. He didn't give him the lip. Vader's like, I'm getting my bounty, son. That was just cool, period. The fact that, you know, he's there to get his money and he's going from there. Then you had all the other scum and villainy out there of all these other bounty hunters that wound up being way cooler 35 years later than they were in the actual movie. But Boba Fett stood the test of time for a long time. A Mandalorian. I mean, they, like, that whole backstory and everything was written post, like, on what it is. Why is this guy so cool? Why is he selling so many units of toys? Why is this happening? Well, let's figure out what's cool about him. And they did a good job with a lot of it until we actually got the show. And that's when they be careful about meeting your heroes. And I think that's kind of where we are, because the Book of Boba Fett is pretty awful.
The thing is like, when they had the whole bounty hunter meeting of, like, go hunt these guys down, it wasn't Boba Fett that I was like, hey, that guy. No, I wanted to know more about Bosk. I wanted to know more about the lizard dude.
Yes. Bosk and Dengar and IG-8 or whatever. Yeah, and those have cool backstories that have been written that I think they're part of. Most of them are part of Legends canon, so
yes. It's
not main universe shit. But some of the stories are really cool, and they wrote backstories about those characters because just a few moments of screen time, and then you wanted to know more about them, which was awesome.
By the way, Legends, they need to bring all that back.
Not as long as we got Kathleen Kennedy there, man.
It's funny that they keep saying that, oh, she's on her way out. She's on her way out. No, she is not. That lady knew a really good lawyer that was able to write her in on every possible thing she possibly could. And she's written in her contract, she gets to direct it and or produce. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. A TV show. A season of a TV show.
Yeah, she has final say on a lot of product. But, you know, be that as it may, you do have people that grew up with this stuff that love it, and it's obvious. The stuff that Jon Favreau did was great, even though he just basically took, you know, the formula from Star Trek and applied it to Star Wars as far as The Mandalorian went. He took characters that people loved and resonated with them, put them in there just for a second to give you a tease, get you excited about those things. And Dave Filoni, that guy has an obvious love for the product. The problem is the things that they're shoehorning in to make it all-inclusive and super palatable to people. Some of the shit's stupid. I'm looking directly at those ridiculous cyborgs with their stupid, ridiculous speeder bikes, you know, in Mandalorian 2.5. That shit was awful.
Yeah, that high-speed chase that was like 5 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, man. Like, it looked so bad. And they looked like the fucking Power Rangers, dude. I was ready for them to hit up, like, oh, it's morphin' time. I mean, it was
Power Rangers.
It was cringe-inducing and disgusting, and some of it was completely ridiculous. That being said, it is a different world. There's some shit you can't get away with. That probably is nobody's fucking business, and it's best to just, if you're an actor or an actress in Hollywood, maybe you should just shut the fuck up and leave the politics to the politicians. And people say, well, they have the responsibility to speak and this and the other. The problem is, by saying the wrong thing to a vocal minority of the populace, then you can lose your job for no reason. It's better just to shut the fuck up. And I'm talking to you, Gina Carano, with your beep bop boop shit. You could have left that lay there, and you could have cashed a fat check and been about your business. And we could have still had a cool ass character on the show that we're never going to fucking see again.
Don't anyway. Sugarcoat it. Tell us how you really feel.
Well, that's not, dude, I don't think I can say it any more blunt than that. First of all, and then you go in what Bill Burr still, you know, was on the Mandalorian. I mean, come on, man. Bill Burr says some crazy shit. But, you know, he has to take that he can say things with a ragged edge that people can't argue with what he's saying because he's not antagonistic. He's saying you're fucking ridiculous and you're stupid and go about your business that way. And people's like, they just nod their head and shut the fuck up. But when you keep picking at them with small microaggressions, it lets them know that you're not going to do anything about it. And you get them too much ammunition with all these small nips. So if you're going to say something, say it, shut the fuck up, and don't address it again. I said what I said. I'm moving on. But don't play yo-yo with these jackasses. Don't give them enough bait on a hook and keep dangling in front of them. Because at some point, a fish is going to grab that motherfucker and is going to drag you down with it. And that's what happened to some of the characters on there. And some of the actors and actresses probably should just leave well enough alone. If you want them to be more active and speak out on certain things, then you fucking sign a petition and you vote that motherfucker into office somewhere and you let actors be actors and shut the fuck up. Ran over.
Which brings us to everyone's favorite lovable characters. The Ewoks.
Oh, God.
The Ewoks are great.
The Midget Bears, man. Leave the Midget Bears alone.
They are ridiculous. They're completely
knock out stormtroopers with sticks.
And rocks. That took over a whole chicken walker.
Although it was pretty cool. When they released the two logs that smushed the little thingy walking.
Yeah, the Ewoks are fucking master strategists. They knew that forest better than anybody.
You
want to
take one home with you and feed them. Well, I would hope they knew it better than anyone. They lived there, you dumb shit.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why they're a master strategist, dumb shit.
Well, just because they live there doesn't mean they're master strategists.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
They know the terrain. They know how to fight on that terrain. Stormtroopers just got fancy outfits for it.
They could also have the brain the size of a fucking walnut like you have.
Still manage to kill a walker and then take over another one.
I say could have, but doesn't mean they're master strategists. You can't call them that. They also had help. They also had help of the Rebel Alliance. So how do we know it wasn't the Rebel Alliance? It's like, hey,
we don't know.
You
that.
Guys go chop down those trees.
We don't. Well,
first
know that.
Of all, okay. I think they have like.
But you also don't know that the Ewoks are master strategists.
But we have no proof.
Well, that's what I'm gonna believe.
Okay. Hey, go ahead, Jeff.
It's like, how long did they fucking have to do to plan these attacks and to set up these traps for these guys? Were they there all the time? Or were they waiting on something else? What were they waiting on? What was big that height for them to crush something in between the skulls? And why didn't we see any of those bad motherfuckers walking around the planet? And also, at some point, it seems to me, particularly in Return of the Jedi, that multiple times they put the horse before the cart. We got these speeder bikes and these badass speeder troopers. Let's put them down on a forest where the reaction time has to be far beyond what a computer could actually generate for them in order for them to actually fly and not die. We're going rip ass through this forest of giant trees. It's just ridiculous. And you know that, and then having the shield generator, great idea. Not fixing the fucking hole in your vent system the second time, just like you said before, probably a bad idea. Hey, let's plug this hole before we start fixing the rest of this shit. So they can't be immediately destroyed. Oh, we got this shield generator. Like laughing. And I understand the ridiculousness of this of the things that happened there. And it just seemed like they were just racing towards the end for no particular reason. And it's fine. All trilogies should come to an end. And we shouldn't have to look at them drug out over, you know, six more films for no fucking reason. But this one in particular, I think that's why I didn't really like Jedi, because, you know, when did Jedi come out?
83.
All right. So I'm fucking 9 years old and I'm seeing holes in the plot. Come on, guys. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you could have took a little more time and fixed some things on there. But, you know, the music, you know, the score, the technology, there's so many things about it that were great. The universe building was awesome. Much better on the back end than the front. I remember the first time I started picking up books and not the comics, you know, from Star Wars. Was when the Zahn trilogy came out. I don't know if that came out before the sequels or after. Probably before. And then you had like the other stuff that was immediately after the Battle of Endor, with, you know, bounty hunters still trying to run down and kill Luke. Or maybe that was between Jedi, between you know, Empire and Jedi. And they made a bunch of games of that one as well. Leia had paid some bounty hunter to pay a smuggler to be like Luke's, you know, bodyguard from the side and shit. Shadows of the Empire. I think that was it. I don't remember the series.
That sounds right.
But those are things that I enjoyed about it, and I could look past Jedi because I wanted to. And I thought I would never have to revisit those in the movie form again, like most people on the planet. You thought those are over, and then, you know, we're doing other things at that point. But I was, like I said, a fan of the universe, and there's a lot of things that I was not excited about for Return of the Jedi. I don't know where that would rank in the pantheon of those. You know, to me, this trilogy is better because it was the founder of the feast. What's up?
Was it Shadow Games?
No.
Sorry, I have a list of the actual movies. Shadow of the Empire?
Yeah, Shadow of the Empire, I think.
All right, that came out right before Return of the Jedi, like right before it.
With Talon Card and stuff like that.
That
was it. Yeah. And that's fine. I was rambling a bit anyway. Instead of a rant, it's just that's why I love it. That's why I love this trilogy, the OG trilogy, better than the sequels or the prequels. Because it was without it, you don't get anything else, and the rest of the universe is what I really enjoy.
I agree with you. In that aspect, I love how this trilogy started off everything we have today. I mean, not everything, obviously, but it started off or everything Star Wars-wise. We wouldn't have any of this. Like I said, I grew up on the prequels. That's what I grew up on. But I also always watched the original trilogy. And it's special effects and everything. Even as a kid, I was in awe about it, even when I was younger. So, I mean, I'm with you on there. This trilogy sparked so many other great things. We're not talking about you, Dune 1984, but so many other great movies that was sparked because of the special effects, because what was created to make these films. Don't get me wrong, I still love them. They're just not my favorite. But I can see how they are most people's favorites. I love the fight scene. I love the symbolism at the end of that fight scene, where in the beginning of it, you see his tunic. Everything's black. It's all black. You could tell his demeanor. Everything was more dark side, pulling towards away from it. But by the end of it, right when he sees Vader dying, you see the flap of the tunic come over, so it shows white, so it shows the light side's coming back through. Or that just may be people reading too much into it, but it is what it is. I like it, so I don't give a shit. And that's where I say fuck everybody, that's what I like and enjoy about it. And that's what's great about all these films, is everyone can bring something from it to themselves and interpret everything their own way. And everything's left open, which is great. And that's what I love about the whole thing. Except for the most feared bounty hunter in the whole fucking galaxy getting swallowed by a fucking Sarlacc. That was so fucking stupid. He was a bitch bounty hunter, and his TV show even showed it.
Those are all facts.
Anyways, that's kind of my favorite part. What's up?
I said, y'all a bunch of hoes.
You're just not nice. Listen, why is your tattoo like glowing right there, Dylan?
It's my headset.
That makes more sense. All right, well, let's get to my favorite part. Dylan, rate these movies. IMBD, 3/10.
7.2.
Which one?
New Hope. I just assumed we were starting with New Hope.
Yeah, we're starting with New Hope. That's fine with me. Jeff, what you got there, big guy?
What's it out of?
10.
A New Hope would probably be like 7.8.
Ooh, so close. 7 or 8.6.
Damn.
Yeah, 8.6. That's
the love of the franchise, not the love of the film.
Yep.
Yeah, there was 1.3 million people who voted on it. All right, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes are? This is what I'm excited to hear what you think.
That's super weird.
77, 88.
Why is that super weird?
It's because, like, Rotten Tomatoes, like, this is, it's all watched in hindsight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not sure, like sure. They're actually getting to watch. There's just something weird about that. But, so Rotten Tomatoes, like, it's out of 100, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Most people watching that are going to feel like you guys did, and they're going to actually like those shitty sequels, prequels better. I don't know. I'll still get 7.8, but I'll just take the decimal out. 78%.
For the who?
For the critics. And then, I don't know. What are the people? Probably 85%.
Dylan, what was yours?
77.88.
92 for the critics? 96 for the Jesus audience.
Christ.
Shock and awe. Shock and awe. All
right. Empire Strikes Back.
9.4.
IMBD. 9.4, Jeff?
8.4.
8.7.
Nice.
8.7. All right, Rotten Tomatoes. Sorry, I love this part. I know you guys are like, eh, I love this part. Just because it's Dylan doesn't know a whole lot about rating systems, and Jeff does. And so I just like how it works going together and how close both you guys are.
95's all around.
And oh. You can tell Dylan's over here getting tired. He's like halfway falling asleep.
Let's see. Like, as far as this one goes, I would have to go with and this is for Empire, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd go 98 and 92. Critics over watchers.
Inverted. 94, 97.
Nice.
I'll take it.
94-97. So yeah, you're right at 95. So that kind of worked out pretty good.
Yeah, dude. He got perfect. Lucky.
You split that shit. All right, let's see. And return. What you got on return?
8.8.
Fuck that.
What was that? We lost you. We're hearing mumbles.
We got Robot Jeff again. Did you hit mute again? I just visualize him frantically, like, shaking his phone.
Shaking
like,
my phone.
Like the fish from Nemo. Why are you sleeping? Oh, hey.
I am, I'd ask what A New Hope was.
84. But... Or 8.4.
8.3.
Son of a bitch, you finally did it. Sorry, it is 8.3. You finally got it right.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
Our Rotten Tomatoes, Dylan.
go 86-90.
Jeff.
91-97.
83-94. So this one definitely dropped off the most. But overall, Empire definitely is like better, and obviously better than all the prequels, as we so graciously understand that already. But here's what I find interesting now, getting to the fun, cool box office stuff. So, New Hope cost $11 million to make. How much do you think it grossed?
Half a billion.
Jeff?
Are they adding the gross from the stupid re-releases?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
That's like $900 million.
Yeah, now I'm wanting to say like 750 mil.
775.
What?
775. Believe it or not, see, and that's what I found so interesting is for the love that the films generate and gather, it only has that much, and that I find that extremely surprising. well. Obviously, A New Hope did phenomenal in theaters, even to the point where they got the huge thing of on That 70s Show. It was a huge – Star Wars was a huge part of That 70s Show with Eric Foreman and stuff like that. But what do you think the budget for Empire was?
$250 million.
Okay, this is 1981, so let's think about that. Or 79, sorry.
I don't fucking know. It's fucking $130 million.
We get you're tired, but cut the shit out.
No, because you said you said 111 million for the first one, and that threw me off.
I said 11 million, you dumb shit.
Oh, I thought you said 111.
I say $60 million.
30.5.
Stupid inflation. Fuck with my math.
How much do you think it got? How much do you think they got in box office?
It's a sequel, so I would say, dude, I'm just gonna keep saying 9 until I get it right. But I know Jedi wouldn't be there.
800 million.
Yeah, 850.
Roughly 540.
What?
Yeah, it tremendously dropped off. It was roughly 540.
I am repulsed by people's taste in music in movies and how they're paying for things.
So with that, The release date 1983 for Return of the Jedi, with a budget of $32.5 million. How much do you think it grossed?
$600 million?
$700 million.
You're still pricing right that shit there, Dylan. $475 million. Like it bombed in Star Wars standard.
Now we know why they stopped it forever. Jesus, hey, God, I feel sad.
You know what the top grossing Star Wars film at this time is?
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, it's the Rise of Skywalker.
Last Jedi.
Oh, that's yeah. I'm sorry. Last. Sorry.
Last because, Jedi is the number one.
So number two is Rogue One.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I just remember seeing that and I was mad about it. Star Wars. Ranked box office. Oh no, that's a rank. Hold on, that's not it. There it is. Oh no, I apologize. I lied. I'm sorry. Force Awakens was with 936 million.
That makes more sense.
That's my bad because it had been what a 30, 40 year hiatus before or since the movie was released. So that's my bad. Yeah. 40 years?
No, because you had the prequels.
No, I had the prequels. You had the shitty
shit. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So you had like...
Oh, it's because nobody... That's right. My bad.
You had
it's
about 10, 15 years.
Nobody thought... It was about 10 years exactly. Nobody thought that anyone was going to make more Star Wars. So, okay, I get it now. We're good.
It makes sense for that one because like, that was like the comeback. Like that's but the first Last one that people realize, like, oh, this is shit.
$620 million.
Well, all right, there we go.
But you know, I think we're coming here towards the end of it. I know everybody's half asleep on this part. It is what it is. I obviously am going to recommend these. There's no doubt in my question, no question in my mind, no doubt in my mind that I'm going to recommend Star Wars. It's something I grew up on. It's something I enjoy, and I will continue to enjoy it, and I will shove it down my kids' throat, and they're going to like it, whether they like it or not. But, you know, it is what it is, and I love Star Wars. I love everything that they keep doing. Nope, I can't say that. I enjoy a lot of the stuff that they used to do. It's just like that song, Somebody That You Used to Know. And I like the somebody I used to know. I don't like the somebody new. Except for Lego Skywalker Saga. I'm probably going to enjoy that one. And Fallen Order was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And first two seasons of Mandalorian was pretty good.
Well, I know we're on this one, but Mandalorian, it got repetitive. It needed a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
If it took the Book of Boba Fett with Boba laying in a fucking back to tank thinking about how things used to be for six episodes before we got to two actually good episodes with you know, Din Djarin back in there, it's fine. It needed a breath for me to spark it back up. I know people are stoked about Obi-Wan, and I'm just waiting for Ahsoka. So,
yes, I'm with you on that one. I am with you on that one.
I think the main thing about Kenobi is just I'm excited to see Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen back.
That is true.
What the fuck are you excited to see Hayden Christensen for?
Because he was good as Anakin. That's why.
Oh my God, that Norn that kid from the first of those shit movies was better than he was. He was just toad. He was awful. Anakin was great in like the Clone Saga. We actually got some more characters, and it's not Hayden Christensen's fault. Let me start there. It's not his fault.
Acted how the writing was. He did phenomenal for that.
Oh, come on, man. First of all, phenomenal. That's a stout word for anybody in those movies. I mean, and I'm not belittling the actors in those films. It's just the writing was what the writing was, and it was kind of gross. But the characters...
Oh, hold on. Right. I just realized we skipped over something amazing in all three of these films.
What
James
was that?
Earl Jones.
Oh, his voice. Come on. That is awesome. You know, you gotta, you know, everyone loves that guy. I mean, his voice is to me, when I think James Earl Jones, oddly enough, I don't think Darth Vader, I think Thulsa Doom. But that's a whole nother movie we'll have to do. But the good one, not the one with Jason Momoa. Oh, God.
No, we're going to have to do that one. We're going to have to do both and compare them.
Oh, God. Comparing them. That's like comparing like a 0-60 test in a fucking Pinto to a Ferrari.
Hey, man, give those Pintos plenty of time. They will win.
Oh, so gross. Oh, gross.
Oh, man.
Yes, James Earl Jones was great. The sound effects were amazing. I mean, for fuck's sake, just hearing the deep space depth charges, you know, launched from Slave One, that's worth it right there to go watch in a movie theater when they're chasing him, because that's the coolest sound in Star Wars. And that's me accepting the fact that the sound of a lightsaber striking is still sending chill down people's spine. How cool it is. You know, just any of the sound bites, any of the clips, anything with Johnny Williams, you know, with his orchestrations there, those are masterful. Great. I'm still to me, Slave One with the proximity bombs, that's the sound effect.
Yeah, no, the
no, that, yes, that sound I agree with you on that amazing. One. It's probably one of the best ones there is out there, so I completely agree with you. But, well, I think this is it. I think we're here at the end of it. Do you guys have any last comments you want to add towards it?
Nope. I'm good.
Dylan, you're just ready to go to bed. I can see it in your face.
I think we've argued it to death at this point. No one's going to, like I said, they're listening to this because they want someone else's take on it, and they definitely got it on this particular trilogy. I love it because of what it brought to the table, not because of what it was. I think the universe that the original trilogy gave us is the lasting effect on what it is as far as Star Wars fandom goes, and what George Lucas did set the bar and changed the way the game is played in Hollywood at that point. And we appreciate that very much.
That's very true. Then those are there's no better words to end on that one. I think we all completely agree with you in that. well, this has been a production of Movies, Brews, and Rants. No copyright infringement has been intended. These are three opinions for three different individuals. Hey, hit us up. Follow us on Twitter. Keep listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get all your podcast stuff. Listen to us. Please leave us a review. Leave us something awesome. I'd love to hear it. Whether you hate my voice, hate Dylan's voice, or you just love to hear Jeff rant, let us know. Let us know if there's any audio issues that you hear, or if you just want to say, hey, how's it going? Just say, hey, pop in. We're always interacting on Twitter. We're always talking with everybody. Hit us up. Let us know if there's a certain movie you want to watch. I know someone wants to hear Psycho Gorman. He wants us to watch that and then to review it. That's something we're looking into. If you have anything else, horror, action, comedy, name it, we'll do it. Hit us up.
We'll definitely reach out and we'll look at some great stuff. Pretty excited for what's coming to store.
I want to give a shout out to a couple of people. Our last six follows on here: the Bleach Brothers Podcast, Deadite Dave, Nerd in Texas, Film Rage, the ODPH Podcast, and your next favorite movie. Thanks for following us on Twitter, and we'll see you in the social media realm.
That sounds great. Come back next time where Jeff defends his love for the sequel trilogy. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great night. Take care.